All right, this morning's scripture reading is going to be from Psalm 23, Luke 10, and Ezekiel 34. So we're going to do a little bit of bouncing around, but it's going to be behind us on the screen here. So Psalm 23, 1 through 2. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. And then Luke 10, starting in verse 38. Now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me. But the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. And then Ezekiel 34, starting in verse 11. For thus says the Lord God, Behold, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his flock when he is among his sheep that have been scattered, so will I seek out my sheep, and I will rescue them from all places where they have been scattered on a day of clouds and thick darkness. And I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries, and will bring them into their own land. And I will feed them on the mountains of Israel by the ravines and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them with good pasture, and on the mountain heights of Israel shall be their grazing land. There they shall lay down in good grazing land, and on rich pasture they shall feed on the mountains of Israel. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I myself will make them lie down, declares the Lord God.
Thanks, man. Good morning, guys. Great to see you. I'm not going to speak about myself, and so I'm going to just pray and let's get into God's word, if that's okay with you. Father God, I praise you. And that praise, Lord, will ever be on our lips because of what the shepherd has done in laying down his life for the sheep. God, I just ask you to help me this morning get out of the way so that your people can hear your voice. You promised that your sheep would hear your voice and they would come to you, Jesus. So call us now. Call us as your sheep. Let us know who you are more so that we can praise you all the more. And I just thank you for your grace in our lives, that you've taken sinful, straying sheep and made them sons and daughters of the living God. So be glorified. This morning, be glorified the rest of our lives, and you will be glorified for all eternity. So we praise you, Jesus. It's in your name we pray. Amen. So in the year 2005, a group of Turkish shepherds in the mountains on the border of Iran, tending a very large flock, put this flock out into a pasture in this mountain territory and went off to find a place to sit and eat breakfast. From a distance, they watched as this one sheep walked off the side of this cliff of this mountain into the ravine to its death. The next 450 sheep that followed him also fell to their deaths down this mountain. The next 1,050 sheep that fell off this cliff following the other sheep in front of him all survived due to this 450 pile of wool, dead carcasses at the bottom. Like, this is the creature that the Creator uses to explain us time and time again in the Bible. This thing. And listen, most times when people talk about shepherd and sheep, they actually just go on and on about how dumb they are. And that is true. But they are also just naive and like super easily persuaded by other sheep in front of them. And that's where I want to go this morning, to help us understand this good shepherd. And so I hope it helps us understand how much we need him. Like a good shepherd that doesn't leave us in the mountains in a green pasture to fend for ourselves, right? So that we can fall down a cliff, but one that makes us lie down in those green pastures. So the way a shepherd makes a sheep lay down is not to walk it around and around it to get till it gets so weary that it has to lie down. Sheep will go long after they are weary seeking food. But the way a shepherd makes a sheep lie down is to give them enough food that satisfies them, and then they will lie down automatically. I believe that the culture we live in, there are many, if not most of us, probably all of us that are here today would probably say, like, I'm weary in one way or another. Like I am. Be honest with you, I'm flat out weary. And I'm not asking if you got enough sleep last night. I didn't. Buckley Log Show is in town, and I live right in the center of Party Central. My house is across from the bar and the party house, and we didn't sleep a second last night with two babies in the house. But that's not what I'm asking. I'm not asking if you're tired. If you worked hard this week, that's great. I'm not asking if you're tired. That's not why I'm weary. Weariness, it's a reflection of something going to, like, deep down in our hearts. That's what it's exposing. It's a restlessness of soul, and so a daily searching of satisfaction that looks a lot like busyness. That's how we dress it up. And here's some ways that I think that we're weary. It's bringing our jobs home with us. Yard work so neighbors don't think ill of you. Busy with your kids' sports that run the schedule year-round, driving miles and miles each day for hours and hours, playing very little with your kids, always cleaning your house, or trouble that is dirty, exercising to look a certain way, people-pleasing, and so over-scheduling, double-booking, Facebook posting and scrolling, Instagram checking, texting while you're driving, checking emails before bed, and then probably watching Netflix to help you fall asleep so that you can wake up and do it all over again. Something's very wrong with many of us here in the West, and I include myself smack dab in the middle of that. We do so much, and our busy and restless lives are at some level a byproduct of our restless souls. What's in will come out. From the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And from the abundance of the heart, our lives are busy. Augustine famously said, you probably heard the quote, "Oh Lord, our hearts are restless until they find their rest in thee." And Jesus calls us who are restless, right? We all know the verse. We probably quote it to our kids all the time. "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Or to say it another way, come to me, and I will satisfy your soul, and you will lay down in green pastures. So, God is good to us, because we are sheep, and though I won't go on about our dumbness, he makes things very simple for us, and I'm thankful for that. I need that. And so he gave us Luke 10, 38 through 42. He read it before, but I'm going to read it again. This is a pretty good image of what it looks like for a sheep to rest. "Now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving, And she went up to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve all alone? Tell her then to help me. But the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. One thing is necessary. One thing is required. Mary has done it. Like confession, you guys, like lately, I'm a Martha, like to the core. And I'm not just playing the good speaker role and confessing of some sin so it goes along with the message. Like, I am Martha. I'm Martha. For the last year, we have a little baby. He's one now, and he did not sleep for a year. 6 to 10 times a night he woke up for 11 and a half months straight. And it was not that that was making me restless. It was me neglecting sitting at the feet of Christ to find my rest. Just running around like a sheep with its head cut off, trying to find rest, neglecting the Savior's feet. And I neglected this gracious gift of spending time at the Savior's feet, enjoying Him, listening to Him. And it's why I've come to love the promise that life is but a breath. It's one of my favorite promises in the whole Bible. And that sounds weird. It's like, you're suicidal, dude. You want to die? No, honestly, you guys, I don't want out of this world because I'm like dealing with some crazy sin I just want to be freed of. And I don't want out of it because people are persecuting me or I'm having these struggles at work. I want to be out of this world so that I'm face to face with Jesus. I'm just so tired of neglecting Him. And it's not that I neglect Him all day, okay? We have a relationship. I love Him. He loves me. He knows me by name, like we sang. He knows His own by name, and He calls them. I know Him. But don't you find it that it's strange? Probably in your own lives. I would have to guess you struggle with the same thing. You have 24 hours a day, 168 hours a week. How much time do we spend just enamored with the Savior, spending time at His feet, the most important thing, the good portion? I want to be face to face with Him so that I don't neglect Him anymore. He loves me, and it's not a guilty thing. I know He's died for all my sins. It's a desire. I want to be satisfied with Him, and I'm tired of seeking my satisfaction elsewhere. But for now, I'm restless. I am. And I get caught up in the business of the world and join the flock that is running towards those cliffs. Away from the shepherd, away from those green pastures. So how do we avoid these cliffs? How do we not get caught up with the world going a million miles an hour, right? It's where we live. We all ask our friends, our family, strangers, how you doing, man? Why is the biggest response I get on a regular basis, busy? That doesn't even answer the question. Why do we go there? And then we go on for minutes and tell them about why we're so busy. I got this going, kids are here. I'm messed up. And so the answer, to not go off those cliffs, to not be crazy busy, to actually have a response for people when they ask us how we're doing, is, you guys, we need the gospel every single day. Every single day. Hebrews 13:3 says, exhort one another daily. And it's talking like biblical exhortation, strong encouragement. Exhort one another every single day so that your hearts aren't hardened and turned away to the deceitfulness of sin. Every single day, the Bible calls us to do that to one another. Like, it knows us. And because we're forgetful, weak, and naive, we need the shepherd's voice lovingly calling us back to these pastures as we go look for satisfaction everywhere else, every single day. Every day. So let's hear from him now, and let's listen to him remind us of his love and how he works for our rest. And I'm going to read Ezekiel 34 again. For thus says the Lord God, behold, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his flock when he is among his sheep that has been scattered, so I will seek out my sheep and I will rescue them from all places where they have been scattered on a day of clouds and thick darkness. And I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries and will bring them into their own land. And I will feed them on the mountains of Israel by the ravines and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them with good pasture. And on the mountain heights of Israel shall there be their grazing lands. Mountain heights? Mountain heights? Like, Lord, what about the cliffs? There they shall lie down in good grazing land, and on rich pasture they shall feed on the mountains of Israel. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I myself will make them lie down, declares the Lord God. I will. This is the good news. We don't have to do it. Jesus, the sovereign shepherd, does it all. He does all that is necessary to seek and to save and to feed and to satisfy our souls. This is the good news. This is why we can put it all down and rest. So we don't have to run after everything to seek satisfaction. And do you see the order in these few verses? I will seek them, I will rescue them, I will feed them, which leads to, I will make them lie down. It's the truth of Isaiah 55, 5 through 6 that makes us lie down. This makes us lie down. It's meant to. It says, but he, Jesus, was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have all turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. So we need every day. We need to be reminded that we are sheep. Weak sheep, sinful sheep, naive sheep, gullible sheep, helpless sheep, needy sheep every day, and then be pointed to the good shepherd who laid his life down for us, who started a good work in us and will bring it to completion. Who holds us in his hand and says in John 10 that no one will pluck us from his hand. That means you. Last time I checked, you were someone. No one. You cannot pluck yourself from his hand. We need these reminders every day. And we need to be told through his word as we read it by others that nothing can separate us from his love. All my neglect of the shepherd will not separate me from his love. This is what makes me want to run and lie down at his feet. This is the remedy to our busy, restless souls, is the gospel truth. And this good, good shepherd, this sovereign shepherd, became a sacrificial sheep. Climbed upon a cross willingly, drank down the wrath of a holy God in 3 hours, which would have taken us all eternity to drink down. And he rose from the dead, and then he calls us by name. and has all eternity in heaven laid out for us. Setting a table of a wedding feast, the wedding supper of the Lamb. We need these reminders. And it's in this forgiveness of sin. You guys, forgiveness is such a churchy word that if you've been in the church for very long, it's like love. It kind of becomes meaningless. And that's sad, because forgiveness is huge. And the fact that God casts our sins as far as the east is from the west because of what Christ has done. I want to look at Mary one more time. Mary, dang. Mary had a little lamb. She was an awesome little lamb because she knew how to be at the Savior's feet. So Luke 7:47 says this, "Therefore I tell you her sins, which were on many, are forgiven. For she loved much, but he was forgiven little loves little." We know the story. Mary, it seems, was the one caught in adultery. Christ forgave her for her sins, and here she is at the Savior's feet, yet before she even was the first time, wiping his feet with her tears and her hair and pouring out a year's worth of ointment on him and weeping at his feet because of the forgiveness that she found in Jesus. Forgiveness brings us to the feet of Jesus as well and makes us lie down. But he who is forgiven little loves little, it says. And honestly, you guys, just to be biblical and then be honest about my life, that means the opposite is true. He who is forgiven much loves much. And so on days that I neglect Christ, I honestly think I'm a pretty good dude. I do. I must. I don't need him that much. Like if I knew what I was forgiven for and what he did for me on the cross to forgive me and knew the amount I was forgiven much, I would love much. The Bible says it. It's true. And because I think I've been forgiven little some days, I love little. I love the shepherd a little bit. But praise God for conviction in the Holy Spirit that reminds us who we are and then comforts us of who he is. Psalms 95:6-7 says this, "Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our God, our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand, which no one can pluck out." Busyness does one other thing. It not only hurts us, and it not only makes us forget about the goodness of God, but honestly, guys, busyness usually makes us forget about all those who need him as well. We opened up a coffee shop, and yesterday, during the log show, we just threw the doors open to get to meet some of our neighbors. And God just like hampered me in the best of ways. Like I'm just so busy doing Luke things. For my family, for the church plant, for the coffee shop, doing all these things. And God, he came to seek and save lost people, which I was. I'm telling you, I don't know about you, but I guarantee that the one way to just bring down guilt in any conversation with a Christian is just to ask him, "How's your evangelism doing?" Like we all feel this, I talk to my coworker. We all feel the weight, you guys. And Jesus, he set us free to witness, to tell the good news. What do you do when you find something you love? I spend all day talking about a wood-fired pizza restaurant in Wilkeson to everyone I meet. It's pizza. But I love it that much that I talk about it with everybody. What about Jesus? Like, and I'm not talking about this to try to make you feel guilty, not at all. But there are thousands of lost people right in walking distance of your house, and they need to know of the shepherd. They need to hear his voice and come to him. He purchased them with his blood too. And so Ezekiel says, back to that verse, and I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries and will bring them into their own land. Like from Brazil to Bolivia, Burma, Bangkok, Boston, Bonnie Lake, all the way to Buckley. Jesus has sheep. He has them. And he wants to call their name. And what he's done is he saved a bunch of sheep to go to other sheep and tell them about the good shepherd who laid down his life for them to save them. And so busyness keeps us from both these things, from hearing the gospel for ourselves and also from proclaiming the gospel. And so you guys, listen, work hard. Like, work hard. When you play with your kids, play hard with them. But for us that are restless in soul, I would just encourage us when we leave this place, let's pray really hard. Let's pray hard that God would satisfy us in the morning with his steadfast love, like the psalmist says. Like, life is but a breath. And I want to spend that breath at the Savior's feet because of what I already know is on the other side waiting for me, which is him. We're going to go to communion now. But before I pray, let's just be reminded that that this bread represents the body of our shepherd, who broke himself into a million pieces, so to speak, to save millions of sheep. And it also represents the blood, which the Bible says, though our sins were like scarlet, he has made us white as snow. And what a beautiful image for sheep. Spotless lamb died so that we could be spotless lambs. He who knew no sin became sin for us that we might be the righteousness of God. You guys, I don't know how you take communion here, but it is not a morose time to sit and be like, oh, I'm such a guilty sinner. That's not what communion is about, and I don't believe you guys do that, but if there's anyone in here that's tempted to that, if you grew up in a church like I grew up, this is celebration time. This is celebration time. This is a bunch of crazy, weak, needy sheep that are sinful to the core, who've been saved by grace and are going to come celebrate the Savior and take it and then leave this place with the taste and see that the Lord is good and celebrate all day long as sheep. Celebration is rest of soul. And so let his name be on our lips, reminding ourselves, reminding our family, and reminding our neighbors that don't know him yet that God is the good sovereign shepherd that lays down his life for sinful sheep by becoming a sacrificial sheep so that we can be the people of his pasture. And I love you guys, and I'm really glad that I was able to be here today. So let's take communion.